So it's the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her comings. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Good morning. Nice to see you all. My extended family. Is this working?
Yeah.
My extended family. I sort of draw your attention to something that you know, these fantastic posters that are on display must never be overlooked. So let's have a look at this one. This one says here, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now we are the nations. We are the nations. We are the Gentiles. We are the nations. The Bible says that the gospel is first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And then Jesus also puts a balance in there. So that we are the nations, and I find it quite amazing that our faith, which is essentially a Jewish faith, but it was aimed at the Gentiles. It was aimed at the Gentiles, and that is the mind of God. It's not just the Jew, it's the Gentiles, and we are the nations. Go. So there we are, that's a thought. I'll look at that one some other time. I don't like that. I think possibly the wound was more in the ankle, but never mind, that's just me. All right, good morning, everybody. Today I'm talking to you as my family. I'm talking about persevering when you're under pressure. Persevering when you're under pressure. There's two ways of doing that. The one is to go the worldly way and do what they do, and the other is to go our way. How do you cope with problems? I've got lots of problems. You've got problems, you've got health problems, you've got family problems, etc. How do we cope? Is there a biblical method? Is there a biblical way to manage our problems? And if there is, why aren't we doing it that way, almost in a rigid manner? So I hope you understand what I'm saying. My premise is that we need to find a way to manage our problems better. Now the Bible, let's assume this is the Bible. The Bible is the mind of God. That's what it is. It's the mind of God in here, in the Bible, in that book, in those pages. It's the mind of God. It's God's mind on paper. It's not really the Word of God. It's about the Word of God. That's what's going on there. The Bible is about the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is Jesus Christ. This is about the Word of God. Of course, it's God's Word, but you know what I mean. It's about the Word of God. It's not the Word of God. I don't like, and we don't like, I think I can speak on your behalf when I say that I don't like trials. I don't like times of difficulty. I just don't like them. And nobody else likes them. If you look at the Bible from the get-go in the Garden of Eden, there's a trial, there's a crisis, sin has taken place, and Adam and Eve are hiding behind the trees. And the Bible describes how God walked through the Garden of Eden in search. He came immediately to search out Adam and Eve. and he walked through and he said, "Where are you?" I don't like trials. But we need to look at the Bible. We need to look at the Bible and the scriptures to find ways of managing our trials to help us. Now, let's get a definition, a biblical definition of your trial that you're going through now, or my trial that I'm going through now. Because we're going through trials, and trials are here to stay. A trial in God, a trial in our God, because God ordains lots of these trials. Lots of these problems that you have is actually ordained by God. A trial is a temporary season in your life. It's temporary. It's got a start date, and it's got an end date. Your problem has got a start. It's not going to last forever. It's got a start date and an end date, where God has decided, for his good reason, he's decided to allow difficulties and pressure to test you. That's a biblical trial. It happened in the book of Genesis right through. And it's happening in our lives today. We have to come to terms with that. Initially, our trials, and I'm speaking to you as believers, you know, we're in another class, we've got eternal life on our hands. When we pass away, we're going to live forever. We're going to live for eternity. We're never going to stop living. That's what's going to happen to us. That's what the Bible says. This body comes and goes, you get gray, it doesn't matter, lose your hair. The point is, your spirit is going to live forever. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now, in our trials that we face on this earth as we go along, they have a purpose, they have a reason. Trials aren't random things that come at us without any reason behind it. You know, trials have a purpose. It's like a football team. They practice during the week, they practice hard, and they play on Saturday or they play that weekend. Simply, the game that they play, which is the test, is dependent upon how hard they practice during the week. And we have to practice in our faith. Now, a trial in God normally starts almost insignificant. It starts, it's not obvious. We don't recognize it, but it's actually about God. And as time goes on, very often it develops and becomes more complicated until we've got a huge problem. Mike indicated he had a whole new approach, he had to readjust. And it becomes complicated as we go along. Now, I want to share with you, can you hear me? Hello? I want to share with you, and this is important, I want to share with you about five different signs, according to the Bible, that indicates that you're in a trial. And this is not random. And the trial's got a purpose. That unpleasant thing, I mean, I've been through it, but you've been through trials. And the thing is that trials have a reason and they have a purpose. Okay, so I'm going to seven things. The first thing about a trial that comes into our lives is that you find your faith has automatically and suddenly it demands to be stretched. So normally your faith is like this, you're coping every day, you're watching. But now when the trial comes along, your faith has to go like that. That's the first thing. And you think, what is going on? You see, it starts off, it's very subtle. It starts off, what's going on? What's going on? Something's changing here. And we know this, one good example is Abraham. Abraham, who pleased God, like you, a lot of you are pleasing God. Abraham pleased God, and then he was asked to sacrifice his son. This is a sign of a trial. His faith has been asked to extend to this incredible demand to sacrifice his son. Thank God the angel of the Lord stopped that on Mount Moriah. We know all about that. So that's what happens with a trial. When a trial hits you, your faith is expected to be stretched. Take heart. Tell yourself, we've seen this before. I've seen this before. This is not nice. This is not nice, but I've seen this before with Abraham. The Lord will provide on that day. Do you agree with that? So the first thing about recognizing a trial in God is that your faith is expected to be stretched. But be cool, that's okay. Now I'm talking to myself. I don't always manage this properly. So that's the first thing. Secondly, in your trial that has come down the road like a tumbleweed, the next thing that happens is that you discover that you actually, this problem that you've got to face is bigger than you. You can't handle this. You can't go to the doctor. He can't help. He can give you a tablet. What's that going to do? You go, yeah, you go there. You can't cope with this. So the second point is you find that the problem you're facing is bigger than you. Now, and a good example of that in the Bible, remember we go into our toolbox to try and understand how our lives are working. The next thing that happens to you is that the problem that you're facing is bigger than you. You don't have the resources to put this fire out. And the Israelites, who complained when they were in Egypt, and rightly so, they complained when they were in Egypt, were now being pursued. They got out of Egypt. They were looking back, which is wrong. But they got out of Egypt, and they were on the run from the Egyptians. Have you ever been on the run from your past? They were on the run from the Egyptians. And the archaeologists tell us that the site is possibly still there. There's this winding valley down to this big beach, and the Red Sea is over here. And they were on the run, and they were on the run. They had their elderly parents, they had their children, they had their camels, and they were running from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were fully prepared for this. They had spears, javelins, whatever they had, helmets, breastplates, fast chariots, 3 horses per 5 horses per chariot. They were pursuing them. The Israelites had no chance. I want to just go back because I don't want to lose track. The first thing is your faith is going to be tested. Right? Get ready. When you start seeing your faith be tested, say, I'm in a trial. I'm in a trial, but the Lord's with me. That's the first thing. Now you can't solve this problem because it's so big. Let's stop the Israelites. And you hit a wall, you cannot solve it. But take heart. In that case, Israel's trapped at the Red Sea. What happened there? The sea parted somehow. In the trial that we are in, and I'm talking about the trial that we are in, the sea will part. It doesn't matter about your health. It doesn't matter about your bank account. It doesn't matter about anything. We trust God. We walk by faith. Faith is being sure of those things that we cannot see and certain of those things that we hope for. So the Israelites are up against the sea, and it's impossible. That's the second sign of a trial. The third thing is, very often in trials, and you've experienced this, because I'm looking at very experienced Christians that have been to the school of hard knocks. You really have. You're all graduates. I know that. I can see years of experience at hard knocks. I can see it. You've run this race, and you're running the race. The race is only starting for all of us. So, you know, I commend you, and we've been going for 30, 40 years, my wife and myself, and we're going to go to the bitter end. But the third point is when we're in a trial, we pray. And sometimes our prayers don't get answered. Face it. Face it, face it, face it. Our prayers don't get answered. You don't like to say that, but our prayers don't get answered like we want them to be answered. In other words, they don't get answered at the right time and in the right way. And we see it, that woman, we see it, that woman that she appealed, and the Bible says, and he answered her not a word. When Jesus is asleep on the boat, at the stern, on a pillow, he was quiet. They were upset. They said, well, Master, don't you care that we perish? The boat is sinking. Sometimes our prayers don't get answered on time and in the right way. You're in a trial. That's the third sign. The fourth one, you are obeying God in your trial. You're thinking, oh, I've got to clean up my life. I've got to clean up my act. I've got to do things in a disciplined way. I've got to show kindness to everybody because I'm in a trial. I need to get out of this trial. And things get worse in the trial. Things get worse. That's a pattern. Read it in the Bible. I didn't write this. That's a pattern. Job is a righteous man. And things deteriorated one after the next. He didn't do anything wrong. You've done nothing wrong. You've got this trial. Same with Job. The fifth one, very often in a trial, your reputation gets exposed. And you're stripped of all your dignity. People know about it. Oh, look what happened to him. He's got this because he did that. That is not true, but it's a fact. It comes with the package of trials. And Job was like that. They said, well, you got this because you did that. That's the fifth one. Number six, I say, is that in your trial, you've already got 6 pointers. Have you got 6 pointers? Yeah, we have. Now we've got 6. This is the 6th one. The next one comes up is that in your trial, you get attacked mentally and spiritually. You can't sleep at night. You're stressing. thoughts come in. I personally have a lot of that. I have doubt and fear and uncertainty when I go to bed in a child. It is terrible. And if it's summer, it's even worse, because then you perspire more. All right. So Jesus was in the wilderness and he was attacked. Even Jesus had a trial, many trials. He's a man of sorrows. Excuse me. He has a man of sorrows. So he understands depression. But he was in the wilderness. The Bible says he was led, not driven. He was led into the wilderness, right? Led. You've been led very often into, excuse my pointing, you've been led into your trial. So, Jesus in the wilderness. Satan is throwing scriptures at him. Did God really say this? And why don't you do that? And why don't you do this? He's quoting scriptures. So we take something from it. We can learn from that. When you're under pressure, this is the way we've got to do. We've got to do what Jesus did. And sometimes also a trial is as a result of you being relocated into another environment. You just get into another, you're not familiar with the current, you lose control. You lose control, you're overwhelmed by the new environment. Like Joseph. Joseph moved from his family, he was basically arrested and sort of forced out of his culture and his family into Egypt. But what happened there? He rose to success. Trials have a purpose. I don't like them. I don't like them, but they're necessary. They're absolutely necessary for us. When trials come, we must embrace them. We must deal with them. We must recognize them. Number one, is your faith being stretched? Number two, are you in a situation where you cannot solve the problem on your own? You're in a trial. Number three, are your prayers not being answered? Yes, you're in a trial. Yes, Jesus did that regularly when he was in the flesh. He didn't answer the question. We have to admit this. He didn't answer them, but later on it was resolved. Number four, did the situation get worse, like Job? But actually, you thought, oh, I better pray. I'm going to get out of this. And the things deteriorated. That is part of the trial. Number five, has your reputation been ruined because of this trial? Do you look weak and ineffective? Oh, he looks useless. No, there's no use. Don't use him. He's useless. Number six, are you spiritually and mentally challenged in this trial? Do you find yourself losing control of your environment? You're in a trial. Now, that's phase one of my discussion. That's what a trial is. But that's not enough. We've got to go to the Word of God. Remember, I'm saying to you, in my opinion, in my view, the Word of God is the mind of God. It's the mind of God. When I read the Word of God, I'm reading the mind of God. Flushing. That's why it's good to read the Word. Read the Psalms. Go over it again and again. Look at these examples. How did Abraham handle this? How did Job handle this? How did David handle this? How did my good friend Nathaniel, which I really want to talk about one day, if I get invited back here, Nathaniel, how did he handle this? And Jacob. We've got to study Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. I don't want to go there now. It's off topic, but out of scopes. But Jacob, I've got so much strength by studying the life of Jacob. And God is the God of Abraham for a reason. Because it was Abraham's faith. Abraham took his son Isaac right up there. He was in a trial. Abraham, Isaac. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. But the Bible says that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, so we know I'm hoping that I've been able to share with you how to identify a trial and how to, in your life. If you've got a trial, if you feel that you're under pressure, or you know a friend, your wife, your husband, your children, and they're under pressure, you can identify, are they in a trial? Is this God leading? When God led the Lord Jesus Christ, right, at the beginning of his campaign, into the world, he was baptized by John the Baptist. The Trinity was there. He then was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he went for 40 days. I'm not too sure if it was around the Dead Sea or some other part of that area, where exactly. He probably lived in caves, slept in caves 40 days without, definitely no food. Maybe there was a spring nearby. But he was in a trial. What happened? He came out of that trial, and what's going to happen to you? You're going to come out of this trial I'm coming out of this trial. You're going to come out of this trial strong. Strong. Yeah, strong. Stronger than your bank account. I don't care. Bank accounts come and go. We're going to come out of this trial stronger. You're going to feel like you used to feel. You're going to come. Because when Jesus came out of the trial in the wilderness, he went right into Nazareth, where all his mates were, because he grew up there. And he looked like the regular guy, except now he's not the regular guy anymore. He's just come out of the trial and he's just won the victory. He's just won the victory there. He's had a hard time. He's probably lost weight. He's skinny, tanned. He's come out of this. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he begins to announce his project. He begins to announce his mission. And they were horrified at this. They said, who is he? Doesn't matter. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He'd come out the trial. Now, my point seven here is that it's important to know. Very important to know. Can I just say this? Please listen to this. That your trial that you're going through is not punishment. You're not being punished. People say, oh, yeah, he deserves that. You're not being punished. Trials are not because you've been punished. Job had trials, and he was a righteous man. He did good things, and he had trials. It's not because you've been punished. Neither is it always necessarily caused by Satan. You say, oh, the devil's doing this. No, it's not. It's not. Sometimes it's God. There are occasions when it's Satan, because the Bible says persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. So we've got to keep that in mind. But sometimes it's not because of Satan. And the good news is that trials don't last forever. They eventually end. Wow, what a relief. So I want to write this again. Not every trial that you're going through is punishment for what you did wrong, or what your family did wrong, or what your ancestors did wrong. It's not because of punishment. It's not caused by Satan. And the good news is that trials don't last forever. They eventually come to an end. Right, now, how do we respond to trials? How are we going to deal with this while they're happening? We must see the end game. It's not going to last forever. But how do we manage it as they're happening? The first thing, we have to have faith. So Scott's been talking about faith. Messages this morning on faith, perseverance. We have to have faith. And I'm talking to myself. We have to believe in the midst of all this chaos and all this uncertainty that we're going to get out of this. We have to believe God that we're going to get out of this. That's the first thing. We've got to get ourselves right. We cannot say, I'm not getting out of this. We say, I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how. Because faith is being sure of those things that we cannot see and certain of those things that we hope for. So the first thing is we've got to have faith. Listen, we're trying to find a way to get out of this. This is what we're trying to do. We are trying to find a way to get out of this trial or to respond to this trial. The second thing is you've got to keep on rowing this boat. Whatever you're doing in your trial, keep on going. Keep on going to church. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on rowing your boat. Keep on working. Don't get withdrawn and isolate yourself. Keep on rowing your boat. Fast, 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 fast. We need to learn more about fasting. Fast, something that you like to show God. I'm in a trial. I know you're behind this trial. Like Irene said to me a few weeks, she said, God, in our case, she said, God has got it. She said that. She didn't know how important it was, but that's what she said. God has got this. He's got your trial. But keep on praying. Have a fast. Stand on scripture. Find scriptures. Find a case. That's why we need Bible studies. Find a case that you relate to. And what did they do? What did Jacob do? He said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. That's what Jacob said. Jacob said to that man, who I believe was Jesus, he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's what happened to Jacob. Find scriptures. Read the scriptures. You don't feel good. That's unfortunately true. No one feels good in a trial. Depression. I hate depression. No one feels good in a trial. It's not, you've lost your joy, but it's temporary. It's for a season. There's a reason behind this. Thirdly, in that, how to respond to a trial? Worshiping God. You've got to worship God. We've got to worship God. We've got to go to the storms. Use those words. They're not cliches. They're not religious. Use those words. Go to the psalm and read it and use it and speak back. Speak back to the Lord. Speak his word back to him. You may not feel different. You may not feel good. You may not change a thing, but it's the right thing to do. It's the right. Worship God. So number one, have faith in God. Number two, keep on rowing your boat. Keep on praying. Have a fast. Number three, stand on the scripture. Say, no, I'm trusting God. It's going to happen. The Lord's going to find a way. I don't know how. I don't know how, but he's going to find a way. Moses didn't know what to do when they hit that Red Sea and they got the Egyptians here, but God found a way. Endure that trial. James 1, chapter 12, endure. This trial will eventually pass. Now, we've all got trials. And I'm telling you now, what I'm saying to you, I've studied this for your, well, for my benefit, but in the hope that this speaks to you today. That's what I'm saying. And it's important to know that trials that God ordains, even though they're not pleasant, like for Job, like for many others in the Bible, are not designed to destroy you. They're not designed to destroy you. They're designed to build you up ultimately. And they are designed because there's a book, there's a register in heaven. It may seem far out of our minds now, we can't relate to it. But there's all these actions are recorded in the Bible, in the book of life. And one day, when we go, the Lord will show us, look what you did here, you did well here, you did well there, you did well here, you did well. It's going to happen according to the scriptures. So take that trial and deal with it. And let your feelings do what they want to do. They're up, they're down, they're side, it doesn't matter. We're coming out of this trial soon. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.